Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Ishut Perek Yud Gimel. In the last perek, we began to discuss the details of the obligations of a husband toward his wife. The discussion began with the first of the three obligations with a source in the Torah, namely She'er, food, called Mezonot in the language of Chazal. This perek moves to the second of the three d'oraita obligations, namely that of kesut. This word literally means clothing, but as we will learn soon, the obligation of kesut also includes basic mundane needs, like a place to live and essential utensils and furniture in the home. The perek ends with a discussion of how to settle a dispute between husband and wife about where to live, including a case where one wishes to live in Eretz Yisrael and the other does not. Halacha Aleph. Kama haksut shu chayav liten la, begadim shel 50 zuz mishana l'shana, mimapea otan hayamim, shnimtzu ha-50, shisha dinarin urevia dinar kesef, notnan la chadashim bimot ha-gshamim, veloveshet blayotehen bimot ha-chama, v'ashachakim v'hein motar haksut, harei hein shela, kedei shetitkasebehen bimei nidata, v'noten la chagor lemotneha, v'chupach l'rosha, u'min'al mimoed lemoed. How much is the husband obligated to spend on his wife's clothing? He must provide her each year with clothes worth 50 zuz. This amount is in kesef medina, which is only 1/8 silver, as we learned in Perek Yud. Therefore, we divide by 8 to find that this comes out to 6¼ dinar of silver. Recall that a zuz and a dinar represent the same weight of metal. He must give her new clothing before the start of winter. Over the course of the rainy season, the clothes become worn out, but are still fit to wear throughout the following summer as well. The woman can continue to use old clothes from previous years to cover herself for the days each month when she is a nida, when anything she wears becomes tummy. He must also provide her with a belt and a head covering, as well as new shoes for each of the shalosh regalim. Later, in Halacha Yod Aleph, the Rambam adds that if they live in a place where the custom is for a woman to walk outdoors not only with a basic head covering, but also with a shawl that covers much of her body, similar to a talit, then the husband must provide his wife with this as well. This way she can be comfortable going out to visit friends, or to a simcha or a shiva home, and not feel that she is trapped in her home. Halacha Bet clarifies that the amount of 50 zuz from Halacha Aleph is relevant for Eretz Yisrael. Elsewhere, everything depends on the price of clothing. The principle in any other location is that he must provide her each year with clothes for winter and for the following summer, which meet the quality standards of clothes worn by other married women in that location. Halacha Gimel. Uvichlal haksut shu chayav la, klei bayit umador shiyoshevet bo. Umahin klea bait, mita mutsat, umapats o machatzelet leshev aleha, uchle achila ushtia, kigon kedera ukara, vechos ubakbuk vechayutsebehen. Vahamador, shesocher la bait shall arba amot al arba amot, vetier rechava chutzalo kedeli shtameshba, vielo beta kise chutzmenu. Vechen mechavino tolitain la tachshit, kigon bigdei tzibonin, lahakif al rosha, ufadachta, ufuch. The obligation of kesut covers not only basic clothing, but also a place to live, mador, basic home utensils, clay bayit, and items to decorate herself, tachshit. The clay bayit include a bed and sheets, a rug or a mat to sit on, and essential kitchenware, like a cooking pot, a bowl, a cup, and a bottle. For her mador, he must rent her a place at least 4x4 amot in size, with two additional outdoor features, a beit hakiseh, or outhouse, and a courtyard that she can use however she wishes. Tachshit is a broad term, which includes decorative colored clothing, jewelry, and makeup items. The next few halachot apply to the obligation of kesut various details that we learnt in the last perek regarding mizonot. First, the specifics listed in Halachot Aleph through Dalet are the minimum, which must be provided by a husband of limited means. But if the husband is wealthy, then he must purchase clothes, clay bayit, and tachshit, and rent a mador for her in a manner commensurate with his wealth. Just as he is obligated to provide ksut, clay bait, and mador for his wife, so too must he provide these for his children up to age 6. In Halacha Vav, the Rambam adds a line which he did not say in the last parak about mizonot. Ve'eino noten lehen lefi oshro, ela kefi tzorchan bilvad. Even if the husband is wealthy, he does not need to provide his children, unlike his wife, with more than their minimal needs of ksut, clay bait, and mador. I haven't seen anyone note this, but I wonder if the Rambam sees a difference in this respect between mizonot and ksut. If one person in the household gets higher quality food, it may be difficult for others in the household, even young children, to accept food of lesser quality. So once the husband needs to buy nice food for his wife, he must do the same for his children. On the other hand, in matters of ksut and its peripheral obligations, it may be easier for everyone to accept that the wife and mother of the household gets preferential treatment over the young children. In a situation where the husband leaves town without providing ksut for his wife, then just as in the case of mizonot, Beit Din may sell his property in order to cover these costs. However, in this case, Beit Din sells property only to provide the wife with kesut, mador, and clay bayit, but not with tachshit. The purpose of tachshit is kidei shelo titkane alav, so the wife looks attractive to the husband, and therefore in the husband's absence, there is no need for tachshit at all. Halacha chet. Hamadir et ishto shelo titkashet be'echad mikol aminim, baniyot shana achati kayem. Yater alze, o yatir nidro, o yotzi v'yiten ktuba. Uva'ashirot, shloshim yom yikayem. Yater alkein, o yatir nidro, o yotzi v'yiten ktuba. This halacha begins a series of cases where the husband uses a neder to forbid some type of ksut-related act on his wife, like using makeup or wearing a certain type of shoes. We begin by noting that the scenario itself requires explanation. Because as a rule, one person cannot make a neder forbidding someone else from doing something, unless he forbids her from using or getting benefit from his own property, as we discussed at the end of the last parak. So if the husband just says, I hereby forbid you with a neder from doing such and such activity, this is meaningless. The Magen Mishnah at the end of Perek Yud Bet explains that in all these cases, the husband's neder has the following format. If you do such and such activity, all of my property will be forbidden to you as a neder. So the wife does not violate any isser if she does the activity, but doing so puts her in an impossible situation in which she cannot remain married to her husband because she has no way of benefiting from his property. With this background in mind, for this and the next several halachot, we explain halachachet. If the husband forbids his wife to use any kind of makeup or jewelry, then we only tolerate this neder for a period of a year if she is poor, and 30 days if she is rich. After that time, he must either get the neder annulled or divorce his wife and give her the full ketubah. Halacha Yud. Hidira shelo tash'il v'shelo tish'al miklei abayit sh'derech kol ha'shchinot lish'ol otan ulashilan, kegon nafa uchlara reichayim v'tanur v'chayotze behen, yatir nidro o yotzi v'yiten ktuba, mipnei sh'masiya shem ra b'shchinoteha. V'chein hi, sh'nadra shelo tish'al v'shelo tash'il nafa uchlara reichayim v'tanur v'chayotze behen, v'shelo te'erog begadim na'im livna v'makom sh'darkan le'erog otan labanim, teitze shelo b'ktuba. If the husband forbids his wife, through a neder, from lending to a neighbor or borrowing from a neighbor household utensils which are customarily borrowed and lent, like a sifter, a grinder, and use of an oven, then he must either annul his vow through Hatarat Nedarim or divorce his wife and give her the full ketubah, because with his actions he gives her a bad name among her neighbors. Conversely, if she is the one who makes a neder not to borrow or lend these items, or not to weave nice clothes for her son in a place where women typically weave clothes for their sons, then he may divorce her without giving her a ketubah, because she gives him a bad name among his neighbors by making him appear to be very stingy. Halacha Yud Bet. Hamadira tishto shelo telech lebeit avia, bizman shenima ba'ir, chodesh achad mamtinin lo, shnayim yotzi v'yiten ketubah. Ubizman shehem bi'ir acheret, regel achad mamtinin lo, shnayim yotzi v'yiten ketubah. If the home of the wife's parents is in the same city, and the husband forbids his wife through a neder from visiting them there, then we only tolerate this neder for a month. Beyond this time, he must divorce her and give her the full ketubah. If they live in a different city, and therefore the wife would typically visit only on the Shalosh Regalim, then we tolerate the neder until the first regal. But beyond that point, the husband must divorce her and give her the full ketubah. Halacha Yud Gimel. Hamadira tishto shlo telech lebeit ha'evel ulebeit ha'mishte. O yatir nidro, o yotzivi ten ketubah. Shezek kemish asara beveit asohar vena'al befaneha. Vim haya to'en mipnei bnei adam prutzin sheyesh v'oto beit ha'evel o beveit ha'mishte v'uchzeku sham prutzin shomin lo. If a husband forbids his wife through a neder from going to a shiva home or to a wedding or sheva brachot celebration, then he must either get his vow annulled through hatarat nedarim or divorce her immediately and give her the full ketubah, because this is the equivalent of imprisoning her. If he claims the reason is because of prutzim, immoral and licentious people who frequent the places she wishes to visit, and we know that these places are indeed frequented by prutzim, then we listen to him and do not force him to annul his vow or to divorce her. Halacha Yudalit. Ha'omer l'ishto, ein ritzoni she'avo leveiti avich v'imech achayich v'achyotayich. Shomin lo, v'tiyeh hi holechet lahen kishiyera lehen davar. V'telech leveit avia pam b'chodesh uv'chol regel v'regel. V'lo ikansu hein la, ela im eira la davar kigon choli oleda. She'ein kofin et ha'adam she'ikansu acherim lirshuto. V'chein hi she'amra, ein ritzoni she'tikanes etzli imcha v'achotcha, v'eini shochelet imahen b'chatzer achat, v'pnei she'mirayin li u'mitzerin li, shomin la. She'ein kofin et ha'adam she'yishvu acherim imo birshuto. This halacha no longer speaks of a situation of neder, but rather of one spouse expressing a wish about the family of the other. If the husband does not wish for his wife's relatives, her parents and siblings, to visit his home, then we listen to him, because a person cannot be forced to allow others into his property. She may periodically visit them, once a month if they are in the same city, or on each regal if they are not, as we saw in Halacha Yud Bet. And they can visit her only if she is sick or just after she gives birth. Conversely, if the wife does not want her husband's mother or sister to visit because they bother her or cause her distress, we listen to her for the same reason. The Rama writes, however, that in this case, Beit Din will investigate the matter more fully, and they will only accept the wife's claim if the husband's mother or sister truly causes her distress. Otherwise, her claim is not accepted, because the mador in which she lives really belongs to the husband, not to her. Halacha Tadvav. Ha'ish amar eini dar b'mador zeh, mipnei shebnei adam ra'im, o prutzim, o goyim b'shchunati, v'ani mitarei mehen, shomin lo. Af api shelo huchzeku b'pritzut, shekach zivu chachamim, harchek mishachein ra. V'afilu haya ha'mador shela, motziah mimenu v'shochein bein b'nei adam kisherim. V'chein hi shamra kein, af api shehu omer ani eini makpid alehen, shomin la. Mipnei shehi omeret, ein ritzoni sheyetzei alai shem ra bishchunat elu. If the husband wants to move out of their home because the neighbors are non-Jews, or because he believes that his neighbors are bad people, or prutzim, we define these in Halacha Yud Gimel, then we listen to him and force the wife to accede to his wishes. This is based on the advice of the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot Perek Aleph of Harchek Mishachein Ra, stay away from a bad neighbor. We also listen to the wife if she wants to move for the same reason, even though the husband doesn't mind the neighbors, because she can legitimately claim that living in proximity to these kinds of people is giving her a bad name. Halacha Yud Zayin. Ish shehaya mi'eretz min ha'aratzot v'nasa isha be'eretz acheret, kofinota v'yotza imo la'artzo. O teitzei b'lo ktuba, she'almenat kei nisa'a, v'af api shelo peresh. Aval hanosei isha ba'achat min ha'aratzot. V'hu me'anshei ota ha'aretz, eino yachol lo'tziah le'eretz acheret, aval mo'tziah mi'mendina limdina, o mikfar likfar be'ota ha'aretz. If a man from one country marries a woman from another country, then the implicit assumption is that she will move to his country. Therefore, if she refuses to do so, he may divorce her without paying the ketubah. But if the two spouses are from the same country, he may not force her to move to another country. Within their country, however, he may force her to move from one city to another, and from one village to another. But the rest of the halacha adds that he may not force her to move from a city to a village, or vice versa, because there are advantages and disadvantages to both city life and village life. And so this kind of move can only be done with mutual agreement. Halacha Yudchet. Uchisha motzia mi medina limdina, o mi kfar lichfar beota haaretz, e no motzia lo mi nave yafe lenave ra, velo me ra li yafe, mipnei shehi tzricha li tapel, vlivdok atzma yafe benave yafe, kdei shelo tia bo kala uchura. וכן לא יוציאנה ממקום שרובו ישראל למקום שרובו גויים, ובכל מקום מוציאים ממקום שרובו גויים למקום שרובו ישראל. Even when moving from one city to another, or from one village to another, the husband may not force his wife to move to a more upscale neighborhood, nor, in the opposite direction, to move to a more downscale or low-end area. Though one may think that moving to a more upscale location is always advantageous, the wife may not consider this to be true, because it requires her to spend more time checking and tending to her appearance so that she doesn't look unpresentable. The husband also may not force her to move from a mostly Jewish city or village to one which is mostly non-Jewish, though he may force her to move from a mostly non-Jewish place to a mostly Jewish one of the same type, city or village. Halacha Yutet. במה דברים אמורים? מחוץ לארץ לחוץ לארץ, או מארץ ישראל לארץ ישראל. אבל מחוץ לארץ לארץ ישראל, כופין לעלות, אפילו מנווה היפה לנווה הרע, ואפילו ממקום שרובו ישראל למקום שרובו גויים. מעלין, ואין מוציאין מארץ ישראל לחוץ לארץ, ואפילו מנווה רע שרובו גויים, לנווה יפה שרובו ישראל. The last halacha referred to a case where the husband wishes to move from one place to another within Eretz Yisrael, or from one place to another within Chutz Laretz. But if he wishes to move from Chutz Laretz to Eretz Yisrael, then she can be forced to move, even from a more upscale location to a more downscale one, and even from a mostly Jewish place to one which is mostly non-Jewish. Conversely, if he wishes to move from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz, then we do not force her to move even from a mostly non-Jewish place to one which is mostly Jewish. Halacha Chaf. Amar ha'ish la'alot la'Eretz Yisrael, v'hei narotza, teitzei shelo b'chtuba. Amra hi la'alot v'hu eino rotze, yotzi v'yitin la'ktubata, v'hu adin l'chol makom me'Eretz Yisrael im Yerushalayim. Shakol malin la'Eretz Yisrael, v'en akol motzin misham. If the husband wishes to move to Eretz Yisrael and she refuses, he may divorce her without paying her ketubah. There is reason to be concerned in this case that his supposed wish to move is nothing more than a ruse by which he hopes to get out of paying her ketubah. Therefore, the Rambam writes in a tshuva that we only allow him to divorce her without paying the ketubah because he wants to move to Eretz Yisrael if he is known to be honest and upright, and if all visible signs indicate that he and his wife get along. The Rama adds that if the husband divorces his wife for this reason and later ends up moving back to Chutz Laretz, then he must pay his ex-wife or her inheritors the full value of her ketubah. Conversely, if the wife wishes to move to Eretz Yisrael and the husband refuses, then the husband must divorce her and pay the full ketubah. Within Eretz Yisrael, the same dinim apply if one side wants to move to Yerushalayim and the other refuses. If the husband wishes to move, then he may divorce his wife without paying the ketubah. And if the wife wishes to move, then the husband must divorce her and pay the full ketubah. Thank you for joining me in learning today's perek of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next perek.